We're holding on 31B, and its story starts with the word dolma. It's 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top. Dolma, the story happened. So we have Rabbi Yosef Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Havayas ben Ochlan b'chadom ben Elaine Knishla Elias. So you have these two, I guess they're Amorim, not sure, were eating in one of these shuls that were in the attic. So it could be that there was an attic that was attached to the top of the shul where guests would eat, whatever the case may be. There was indications from other Gemaras that there were side rooms where guests used to eat. So also unasa d'tzloisa. So the time to daven, it says here the time for mincha came. I don't know how they knew it was mincha. Time to let's assume that it makes sense. I guess they're sitting and eating, and then it's time to daven mincha. Come Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Mitzlaya. So Rav Yitzchak was one of the people over there. Remember, we started with Rav Yasa and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. So he gets up and he starts to daven. He interrupts his meal. And he starts davening mincha. Amalei Rav Miyasha, so Rav Miyasha was there. Lochein Alfan Rebbe, didn't Rebbe, meaning Rabbeinu HaKadosh, didn't he teach us in the Mishnah, im hischilu ein mafsikin, that once you start eating, you're not mafsik. You don't stop your meal once you started. So what are you stopping the meal for? So you're going to tell me, you want to be machmer? No, Tony Chizki or Komishu Patam Midam Vyoseo Nigrahekin. If you don't have to do something and you do it anyway, it's not looked upon favorably. You're called a hegit, called a simpleton. So why are you doing this? Now, in footnote 13, he talks about the problem of the problem here is basically one of gaiva, of yuhara. And then he mentions a couple of basic things to know about, which is, what does it really mean? I mean, we know that women are not obligated to mitzvah as my grandma, and yet we always, you know, are mishabach kolhan nashim shemachmiros al atzman. They're machmir on themselves, and they go ahead and they do the mitzvah of shofar, right? They do the mitzvah of lulav. Mitzvahs that they're not chayav to do, and they do it anyway. So what are we talking about over here with this maimer or chizkia that anybody does something he doesn't have to do is called a hegit? So he gives an answer that there's a distinction. The distinction is that in that case, there are those who are obligated in the mitzvah, namely men. So if there are people who are obligated in the mitzvah, except you happen to be a woman, you're not obligated in the mitzvah, so there, it's not an issue for her to be machmer on herself. However, if it was something which absolutely no one is obligated to do, such as over here, where the din is that you don't have to be masik from your meal to daven, that's a universal rule, doesn't apply, there's no exceptions to that rule. So therefore, for you to go and be machmer would be considered a hegit. So that's one of the things he says, which is, I guess that's okay. Then he says a second thing. The second thing he says, which is on page 31b2, second paragraph, he says that this is only true regarding where there's no machlokas ha-poskim. Or he doesn't say the word poskim. He does use it. Yeah, poskim. If there's a disagreement among poskim, then even though the halacha may follow the opinion that is makel and you're not required to do something, but if you want to be machmer like some of the poskim that say otherwise, that would also not be included in this statement. Okay, so we have two exceptions. One is woman, because there are groups of people who are obligated in the mitzvah, and you have an exception where there's a machlokas poskim. You could be machmer like the poskim who are machmer. Okay, so these are the two exceptions in the footnote. Amalei v'hatninon chasen patar chasenim rotze. This is a short form of talking. you know, kind of like encoded talking. So if you go back to Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, it's referring to our Mishnah. It says, Chasin and Rotsa Likras Hashema Valeva Harishon Kore. The Chasin, if he wants to read, even though he's Pater from Kriya Shema, because he's Torah, but it says, if he wants to read, he can be Machmor himself. So he's asking them, what are you talking about? That it's just like you know, you have this Mimer from Chizkiya, but I have the Mishnah. Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. And I mean, it's not, there's a machlokes in the Mishnah, but the opinion of the Tanakhama is that anybody can be Machmor. So just like the Tanakhama says that anyone can be Machmor, so I can be Machmor too. That's what his response was. So on Malay, so Rabbi Yashu says, Vulodra Megam Lielhi, that anonymous opinion is not anonymous as being the Chachamim, but it's a Rabbim. On the contrary, that seems to follow Rabbi Gamliel's previous Shita that was quoted in the previous Mishnah, but when he got married, he was Machmor himself. And he said, Eini Shemei Lachem Levatim Meni Fia Shemei Kabosam Mach Shemei Afilu Shachas. So that's not necessarily going to be a good proof or backup for your opinion, because that's also not a Rabbim. And in fact, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says in that Mishnah that lo kol harotza lita lo asa shem yito. And in the footnote, he says that normally we paskin, whenever we have Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, there's a rule, hukaskin Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, everywhere except for, there were three places, I forget what they were already. Just one second. Oh my gosh, I forgot the three rules. Where's the three exceptions? Just a second. I don't want to hold you guys up. Okay. I think it was something with Sidon, Erev with Sidon. I don't remember the exact lashon. Okay. But anyway, so therefore it should be like on the contrary. Okay, so that's the question that they asked back. Well, Malaysa, his response is, V'chol anot pasak Rabbi Gamliel. I could agree with you that it's like Rabbi Gamliel, but during Gamliel Omer, in Shemay Lachan Levatel Mimini, Lacha Shemay. But nevertheless, I maintain it's correct to act in accordance with this Mishnah. Although the majority disagreed with Rabbi Gamliel, it was nevertheless recorded anonymously in this Mishnah. Therefore, he could go ahead and be machmir. Okay, this is one approach. There's another approach to have along this whole Mishnah, which is because, according to this approach, this is the Haredim's approach. According to this approach, how is it coming out? It comes out in the Maskana over here that Rav Yasha and Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak are essentially arguing about whether the halach follows the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, who allows acting more stringently than necessary, or the opposing view of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Brayso of Chizkiya, who don't allow it. So they're arguing about who we follow. So Rav Yasha holds that you have to go like the Machmirim. And I shouldn't say Machmirim, I should say you can't be Machmir. And according to Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, you could be Machmir if you want. And the Haredim ends up saying, if you want to take a look at the last line of the Perek, the Haredim says, "Klomer, Yocholani la asos k'rabbi Gamliel. If I want to, I could do like Rabbi Gamliel. Hoylo stam on Tana kavaseik lechashim liyora. Since the Tana is a stam Tana and says that a person who wants to read can read. The chaim pasak rif Rambam tor and Moram. The Rambam. So the Haredim is going on record here as claiming that the halacha is like him, that you could be machmer." Against the opinion of Chizkiya, who says, now he has a problem with this in the footnotes, because we paskin with the mimer of Chizkiya is quoted often, of Kol Pater Adam Beosehu Nikra Hegit. So therefore, he has an alternative way of learning. You can look at the footnote at the alternative A to see the other way of learning this Gemara. Hadron Allah Chayyakar. Okay. Misha may somewhat of a form of starting a new parak. Person, Rachmon Alitzlan, has a relative that's ready to be buried. It's mutal if one of it's ready to be buried, and it's incumbent upon him to do the burial, meaning to be involved in the burial. So because he's involved in the burial, so part of the kriyashma, he's part of kriyashma, woman not fill it. He's part of those things, both those things. So the Haredim, of course, says mutal if one of doesn't mean that it's in front of him literally. Elohu b'bayis acheretz could be in another house. Given the mutal of the kovro, carrying mutal of funov. As long as it's obligatory on him to bury him, that's called mutal of funov. And the reason he's put there, he says, is parid teredah the mitzvah. Second line in the Haredim, quote Rabbeinu Yaino, who says afilu rotzel ha'chor al atzmo osur. That even if an owning wants to be machor himself and do the mitzvah, that's not allowed. Hochiachen ma'bavli, inclusive from the Bavli. And we're going to say it a little bit later in the Yishalmi as well. Okay. And this is not an exhaustive list, of course. He's really putter from all mitzvahs, not just Kriya Shema and Tefillin. Okay. Noisei HaMito B'Chilufeihem, Chilufeihem, the people who are carrying the Oren, or those who switch in and those who switch with those who switched in. In other words, everybody's taking turns carrying because everybody wants to have a chelik of the mitzvah. As shalofnei ha-mitah, ones that are waiting for the mitah, means it hasn't reached them yet. They're waiting to get their chance to hold it. As shalachar mitah, and the ones who are behind the mitah, means they've already held it and the mitah is already ahead of them. As shalmitah tzarach b'hem, so the one who the mitah needs. So this is not exactly clear what this means, needs, but for the way he's translating it, he translates needs, I think, as the ones who are carrying it, right? Those who are needed for carrying the bier are exempt from reciting Kriya Shema, and the ones that are not needed for carrying the bier are obligated. Was that what I thought he said that it was? I thought Tzarek was that they were carrying it. I'm sure I saw that. Yeah, well, maybe I didn't see it. Just one second. Yeah, I saw it in the same motion. That's where I saw it. It says as shamita tzarach b'hem shetzrichen l'aseisas hamita, that they need to carry it. That isn't really a good translation. Shrichen l'aseisas hamita doesn't mean that they're carrying it now, but they're going to be handed the mita. It's coming up to them, so they're the ones that are part of it. Es she'ein hamita tzarach b'hem, the claim Rashi says kedon ha'holchen l'lamas hameis b'vad l'chavodo. They're walking behind, you know, look the cover, right? Walking behind the urn. So they're high of the mitzvah. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. So you've got the different groups of people, the people that are just walking along, they're high of the mitzvah, the ones who are going to actually be involved in the carrying of the mitzvah, or they're waiting to carry the mitzvah, they're part. Elu v'elu, terminat field, no one on the base of an aleph. They're both groups. Are pater from tefillah because tefillah, I think it says because it's rabbanon, right? Because it's rabbanon, right? Now he also gives an alternative shot, I guess. Alternatively, it's because you have to stand in place when reciting Shmona Esrei. You can't be walking around, so you can't if you're escorting if you're in a levaya, then you can't stand in place. So you're potter. But Shema, you could, except for the first pasuk, the first three psukim, whatever it is, you don't have to be standing still, right? We said that. You only have to stand for the first pasuk. So that might be the reason also. Two pshatim, either because it's not the araisa or because of needs to be standing still. Next, Shazak the Gemara. Misha may some local fun of. So the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to question this need to have the word Uminat Tefillin. It says in the Mishnah that you putter from Piyishma and you also putter from Tefillin. Now, what does it mean you putter from Tefillin? This guy's in an Onay, right? So we're going to present now what the din is. What if a person is an Ovel? Does he have to wear Tefillin the first day? If a person was not chayav to wear Tefillin the first day of his Avelus, then what do you have to tell me that an Onay is putter from Tefillin? He's not going to wear the Tefillin even after the burial for a full day. So you don't have to talk about Tefillin. He's not going to be wearing Tefillin even much longer than just during when it's Mesom Mutal Bafanov. Okay, so that's the Gemara I was going to ask in the next lines. Avel B'yom HaRishon Einu Noseh Tefillin. Then in the first day, he doesn't put on Tefillin. B'yom HaSheni Einu Noseh Tefillin, but on the second day, he does put on Tefillin. This is the first sheet that in the Brises. This is going to be Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that the first day he doesn't put on Tefillin, the second day he does put on Tefillin. And additionally, there's a secondary rule, the Imbo Panam Kadoshes, Kul Chotzon Kol Sheva, that if there are new faces that arrive, he takes off the Tefillin, all 7 days. New faces. Let's see what's on new faces. They've not come yet to console him. Okay. So it says over here, note five, why does he hold that way? Because they might be under the mistaken impression that it's actually the first day of the ship. Let's see, what are the others? He says, Rash Cirillo says, because you're going to have intense feelings of grief when he gets greeted, so maybe it's not proper for him to be wearing tefillin when he's so sad. Okay, whatever the reasons. This is a novel idea what Eliezer introduces here, that even though you have the tefillin on, if you have a new person who's been Menachem Avol, Parim Chadashas, which we call them over here, notice, just like there's Parim Chadashas by Shivas Yimei Mishta, this the same terminology here by the Shivas Yimei Avelis. So Rabbi Yeshua says, he argues on both things. First of all, Rabbi Eliezer said only one day you don't wear tefillin, but on the second day you do. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no, the Rishon Ubasheni and Anoisim tefillin. You're not wearing tefillin both days, first and second. Bayom HaShlishi, who knows tefillin, the third day you wear tefillin. Then Bo Panu Kadoshes and Acholzen. And if new people come, you do not take off the tefillin. So he disagrees with that rule of Rabbi Eliezer about the Panu Kadoshes. Now, the Gemara is now going to, now that we quoted the Braisa, now we're going to ask a question on the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say that you are, that you are Pater from Tefillin, right? From Kriyashma and Tefillin. What are you saying Tefillin for? In Bayom HaSheni, you don't know saying Tefillin. If you're not even wearing Tefillin the second day, Tzorach Meimar, Misha, Mesa, Mutal, Afanov. So what's the point of it? Now, the Gemara could have just as easily asked, the Gemara is quoting Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, but it could have just as easily, Lechara, have quoted Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. He says that the Tzlach talks about why it may not have been a question according to Rabbi Eliezer, but without the simple reading of the Gemara, it doesn't make a difference. Ella begin to Tonah Da. Okay, it wasn't taken necessary to say it. It says one mitzvah sword, it includes the other mitzvahs also. So it's not, it's like typical Yerushalmi type answer. We don't get into complex answers. We say, since it said one, it said the other. Okay, that's the answer. Rav Ze'era, Rav Yirmiyah, B'Shem Rav. So now he passes a halacha. Halacha Rabbi Eliezer ben Asina, or Rabbi Yeshua b'Chalitza. We're going to pass him Rabbi Eliezer who holds, you put on tefillin on day two. And you're going to pass to Rabbi Yeshua when it comes to taking off the tefillin that he holds, you never take off the tefillin, even if you have Panim Kadoshes. You don't do that. So he's splitting the psak. For putting on, you do like Rabbi Eliezer and you put on the second day. For taking off, you do like Rabbi Yeshua and you don't take off the tefillin. Now, Rabbi Ze'era Boy, so he asked a very interesting question. So let's talk about the second day. So let's suppose it's the second day. He's putting on the tefillin, right? Now, new Panim Chadashos come into the room on day two. So what are you going to do? Mahu. Sheyaser Obliyazer Krab Yeshua Shlo Lachlos. What are you going to do now? If you're not going to take off the, figure it out. According to Rabbi Eliezer Shita, following his opinion, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, justice a little bit, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that on day two, you put on tefillin. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, you should not be putting on tefillin. If Panim Chadashos walk in on day two, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you should take it off. But what are you going to tell me? According to Rabbi Yeshua, you shouldn't take it off? No, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you shouldn't have been wearing it to begin with. So if you're going to take off the tefillin, you're not really doing like any shita. If you don't take off the tefillin, you won't be doing like either shita. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you should take it off. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you shouldn't have had it on to begin with. That's the kasha of the Gemara. Make sense? Guys?
Yes.
Okay. The Gemara says, the answer, Amar B'yitzir Rabbon, Nasim B'yam Sheni Ki Rabbi Eliezer, Nasim Rabbi Eliezer Ki Yeshua Shalomach. He feels you should talk and not, in other words, the pshat in Rabbi Yeshua's psak is that you should, that you're never to take off your tefillin because of Panim Chadashos. Doesn't matter whether it's day two or day three. And therefore, since we pass on Rabbi Yeshua in that regard, you should not take off the tefillin. Next. The Enkeni, and if it was the opposite was true, meaning if you should have taken off the tefillin according to Rabbi Eliezer, name a halakha to Rabbi Eliezer, then he should have just said the halakha follows Rabbi Eliezer completely, meaning completely with regard to the second day. He should have said halakha to Rabbi Eliezer v'yom sheni, and halakha to Rabbi Yeshua the rest of the week. That's what he should have said. But since he said, halakha to Rabbi Eliezer v'nesino, halakha to Rabbi Yeshua v'chalitza, so you see that the second day you take it off. Next, lamed beis lamed beis. Amar Rabbein. Rabbein said the following halakha. That's a drasha. K'siv l'man tiskar, so yom tiskar me'er, so tzayim ko'im mecha yachva. It says you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the days of your life. Yom shat oisik me'er b'chayim. It means that you're masking, it's yes, but tzayim, when you're involved in life. Not Rachman Islam during a time of Shiva. Bulyom Shat Isaac Rabbi Mason, not a time of Aninus. Right. So this is like a mukar to pater you from Yitzchak Mitzrayim. And in the footnote two, he says, and by extension, you're also exempt from the mitzvah Shmant Filin, as well as all other positive mitzvahs. Okay. Now, over here, the Haredi Mass, okay? We already learned there's a rule for Isaac mitzvah, Patam and mitzvah. So if a person's Isaac mitzvah, Patam and mitzvah is a general rule, why do I need a special pasuk to tell me, Laman tiska is yom tiska, and time, call you mechayecho, only when you're involved in chayim, not when you're involved in basic. What do I need a special drasha for? Why can't I just use the general rule of Isaac and Mitzvah Patam and Mitzvah? So he says that if it wouldn't have been for that, we would have said it's only if you're actively involved in performing a mitzvah. But an onen is only mentally involved, and therefore you need an extra pasuk. So this is very similar to what we were saying about a chassid as well. Okay. That's something to think about. Tony, what's lahakmar al-atzmai? If you want to be machmar, inshallah. The Braisa says, if you want to be machmar, in other words, an onain who wants to be machmar himself, he doesn't feel comfortable, he's not doing the mitzvahs. When I was in a state of aninus for my father, Oshal, and it was a couple of days. It was very odd, you know, you're not benching, you're not davening, you're making brachas. It's very strange. But you cannot be machmer, you're not allowed to. That's the din. But anyway, lama, why are you not allowed to be machmer? the kavodish al mace. That's not considered covered for the mace if you're going to start being involved in other things and not thinking about the mace exclusively. Or is that the reason? Oh, mishum she'en lo mishi yisam aso. It's because you are the one that's designated to be involved in the burial. And if you're not going to be involved in that act, you may come to, you know, be forget about it and not take care of it properly, and then you'll end up with halanas on mace, and you won't get buried properly. So what's the reason? What's the nafkamina between the two reasons? Ma nafik b'nehit. What's the nafkamina? So Yerushalmi, you know, asks a question and says, what's the nafkamina? Then Yerushalmi asks such a question. I have a chaver kaddisha. I have a whole group of people who are handling the mace for me. I don't say in tamer they call shal mace. If the reason is because of the covenant of the mace, so then it's also you can't be machmer because you're not allowed to take away your attention from the mace. The in tamer they shein lo misha yisum asal. If it's because you nobody else, it's your obligation. Hariyesh lo misha yisum asal. You have someone to take care of it. So that's the question in shal. This is a famous question. Is it because of Kovin HaMeis, or is it because of Isaac and Mitzvah Pata Vada Mitzvah? That's the basic clear. So Tani, so the Gemara asks, it says, your putter, an Onain, is a Bryson that says an Onain is putter from taking Wulof. So at this point, the Gemara thinks that we're saying your putter from taking Wulof on Yomtif. Now on Yomtif, you're not going to be doing a burial. So If you're not involved in doing a burial that day, so and nonetheless you see your putter from the mitzvah, it must be obviously be because of kavod or shel meis, not because of involvement in the actual burial. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about chol hamoed yomtif rishon. We're talking about chol hamoed tiftor b'chol. We're talking about chol hamoed. Chol hamoed, there is a kavura, and that's why your putter from the law. The Gemara says, "Well, Tani Pata with Kiyas Shofar. Kiyas Shofar, there's no Chol HaMoed. It's just your Rosh Hashanah. So, is Lachmeim or Bechol? Is there a Chol HaMoed? There's no Chol HaMoed. Lo B'Yontif, obviously not. It's obviously talking about Yontif. This is like a little extra language. You never see this in the Bavli, right? This is like a little, almost, you know, extraneous talk. So the Gemara says, Omer Kanino. Since he has an obligation to bring the casket and to bring shrouds. So what does that mean? That process can begin even on Yontif. How does that process begin on Yontif? Kai de sanin and tamon. Like the Mishnah says, makshikin ala tchum of akeach al iske hakala. That it says, you can, you know, the tchum is the outside border of where you can walk to on Shabbos, 2,000 amos. So you can walk to the edge of your border where you can walk on Shabbos, so that as soon as Shabbos goes out and ends, you'll be able to get to your destination, which you have to get to after Shabbos as soon as possible, and not waste any time after Shabbos walking from your home. So you see, on Shabbos, you can walk to a certain point so that you can be ready to take care of stuff that is necessary for after Shabbos. Well, Iskei HaMeis, so it's not only for a kalav, it's also for Iskei HaMeis. You have to get some shrouds or whatever the problem is. You have to bring flutes, you have to bring people, at least to hire people who would, you know, who would call out, you know, lamenting woman that would cry out. So since you have that obligation, and that obligation has things which could be applicable even during Yom Tov, therefore, Kamishu Nosei Maso. So therefore, it's not a proof if you're part of the mitzvah, because regardless of the reason, both reasons apply. Either Kavod HaMeis applies, or because you're involved in the burial applies. Both reasons apply. That's the Gemara's Difa. And 15, it goes through, he goes through the halacha lemaisa. He says, from the foregoing discussion, it comes out that an onain is exempt from mitzvahs on Yom Tov and presumably even on Shabbos, because he can ready himself by going to the tchum. The Rishonim say that there's a brisa below that says clearly that an onain is not exempt from, as we all know, the Onanim come to Shul on Shabbos. They do all the mitzvahs on Shabbos. There's no exemption of mitzvahs on Shabbos. So what do you do with this? What do you do with the stira? So some say maybe it's specifically Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, you can't, because, let's see, it says over here, because you can do burial through Gentiles on Yom Tov. So, right, I once went to the Kvura on Yom Tov. It was performed by a guy for the most part, not the whole thing, but part of it. So maybe there's a, maybe it's different Yom Tov. Let's see. Yeah, so according to that theory, so it comes out that it would be that day, okay. Yeah, then he has another thing. Yeah, this I want to mention to you. Others say like this, that the heter wait until nightfall, it's taka enough to pater hit the own name from Mrs. Even on Shabbos. But that exemption won't take effect until the end of the day when you're traveling to the tchum, it's relevant. But in the evening and in the morning, and let's say even early afternoon, so there's no reason for you to be walking to the tchum, unless the tchum is like hours and hours away. But in a normal town in those days, so it could be that the brisa that says that the onan is tied to do the mitzvah on Shabbos, that's as far as the morning and early afternoon is concerned. But maybe towards the end of the day, it would taka be potter. You know, this is a very, that's a very interesting, you know, I just realized something. There's a famous question that on Shabbos. Why is it? Oh, I see we're out of time. But let me just say this. That on Shabbos, why do we say that the Onan doesn't daven Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos? Why doesn't he go ahead and daven Ma'ariv before, right after a Plag Mecha? Let him do Ma'ariv after Plag Mecha. It's still Shabbos. You can say Ma'ariv after Plag Mecha. That's how we pass on Halacha. And this way, you know, he'll be able to get another Ma'ariv in. So according to this explanation here, it's very simple, because the heter, the brisa that says your chayv to do the mitzvah, that's only kol zman, it's not near the evening. But as you get closer to the evening, then already he could be makshe chalat chum, and therefore he's putter already on Shabbos, and therefore he wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah. So that's a very good explanation why you would not be chayv in the mitzvah. Yeah, we come out of Chiddush, though, according to what I'm saying here, that if he's davening milcha on Shabbos, he should daven early milcha. Okay. Yeah, this is a good place to stop. On 32B, we'll start Nitzah Hashem tomorrow night and may Imasai Klefin is Hamitas.